Edouard Bass's The Chattertooth 11, a novel about a father who brought up his 11 sons as a phenomenal football team, is one of the famous Czech works of fiction. It was published in 1922, the same year that saw the establishment of the Czechoslovak Football Association, by a former singer and cabaret director from Prague and has since enchanted generations of young and adult readers. The book was translated into English already in 1943. Its second English edition was published by Carolinum Press in 2008. Ruth Frankova reports.
The Czech books you must read.
Edouard Bass, The Chattertooth 11.
Nether Buckwheat, in the province of Bohemia in Czechoslovakia, there once lived a poor cottager named Chattertooth. He had 11 sons and not a penny in his pocket. He used to rack his brains as to what to put his sons to. At last he decided to make a football team of them. Behind the cottage was a level piece of meadow. This he called the playing field. Then he sold the goat, bought two balls with the money, and set about training the boys. Honza, the eldest, was a maypole of a lad, so he was put in goal. And as the two youngest, Frantic and Jura, were small and wiry, old Chattertooth put them at outside, right and left. He would wake the boys at 5 a.m. and walk them briskly through the woods for a full hour. As soon as they had covered 4 miles, the order would be given, about turn and back at the double. Only after that did the boys get their breakfast, and then work began in real earnest. And old Chattertooth saw to it that every one of them knew his job inside and out. He taught them how to take a ball in midair, stop it and pass, to feint, to centre, to kick from a stationary position, or on the run, to throw the ball in, and indeed everything that a footballer should know.
So begins Edouard Bass's story from 1922 about a group of village boys from Czechoslovakia who went on to defeat the most famous football teams in the world. The book can be read as a celebration of the spirit of fair play, perseverance and enthusiasm for sports, as well as a slightly ironic story making fun of the First Republic's fascination with Czech football. Klub Zubova Jedenáctka, or the Chattertooth 11, turned out to be an immediate success upon its publication in 1922 and has since seen some 30 Czech editions. It was turned into a film by director Ladislav Brom as early as 1938. More recently, it has been adapted for the stage by the Prague-based Minor Theatre. The Chattertooth 11 is subtitled A Tale of a Czech Football Team for Boys Old and Young. So is this fairy tale set in post-war Czechoslovakia really a book for both young and adult readers? And can the book, despite its subtitle, also appeal to girls and women? I put that question to Michael Bau, an editor for Charles University's publishing house Carolinum Press, who lectures at the Institute of Translation Studies.
What struck me was that the story itself of kind of a unbeatable football team, it's very much like a comic book in a way, with these kind of superheroes that are presented in kind of a two-dimensional way, I have to say. I have a hard time remembering the names of the individual players. I know there's a Honza and a Jura and a Tonik, but they don't really stand out in any way. They're not particularly deep characters. But the way the book is written, it has kind of almost an experimental, modernist narrative style where it's taken from lots of different perspectives. There are strange interludes where it will skip from kind of the action in Czechoslovakia to a Czech grandfather in Oregon kind of making up a fairy tale. And then you'll get reports from a ship that we find out later that the Chattertooth 11 are on. So it has this kind of fragmented narrative that I found fascinating. So I think that the story itself is nice. And I think that definitely will appeal to a younger audience. But I feel that the stylistic choices that Boss made and the way he wrote the book could appeal to adults. That's what appealed to kind of the adult side of me. And the truth is, I think we're all kind of young at heart. And who doesn't want to read a story of this kind of remarkable soccer team showing the world how impressive the Czechs from a small town can be?
At the same time, present-day readers might be put off by the fact that there are not many female characters in the book. One of them is old Mrs. Chattertooth, portrayed as an anxious mother and a housewife who has no clue what her husband and sons are up to.
There's a part where the soccer team meets 11 female runners, and they have a huge amount of respect for them because they're athletes as well and not portrayed in any sort of frivolous way, which is interesting because, again, yeah, there aren't many female characters. One thing that I thought was interesting is I feel like there has to be a story for those 11 runners as well, that maybe they're having kind of a similar story going on as the Chattertooth 11, but it isn't focused on. And so that's something that I wonder about for today's audience, if girls will feel left out when there's this story that really was kind of written with boys in mind.
The Chattertooth boys were at the top of their form. The Slavia team, too, played a good game, but at halftime the score was 3-0 for the Chattertooth 11. In the second half, they got another three and won easily by 6-0. The boys from Nether Buckwheat were borne back in triumph to their hotel by the crowd, shoulder high. Before the hotel, there was such a crowd that the chief of the police had to beg Mr. Chattertooth to address them. Otherwise, they would have refused to budge. So old Chattertooth went out onto the balcony, took his pipe from his mouth, pushed back his lambskin cap onto his head, and once the wildly cheering crowd below him had calmed down, began. "Well, it's like this. I just said to them, 'Well, boys,' I said, 'you just learn 'em.' And they did learn 'em. There's nothing like children doing what they're told by their parents." And that was the speech made by old Chattertooth to 20,000 people when his team had won the championship by a score of 122-0.
In his foreword to the Chattertooth 11, translator Mark Corner describes it as a typical example of mid-20th century comic writing, likening the style of Edward Buss to the famous British comic writer P.G. Wodehouse. Michael Bau says that despite its many humorous moments, for him it is much more an example of a modernist novel.
You know, the structure itself reminds me much more of kind of Chopek's War with the Newts or, you know, Faulkner's As I Lay Dying. There's really interesting things going on there. So I think that the spirit of the story very much is kind of one of these 20s comic novels, but the structure itself seems to be very experimental to me. But maybe it takes its that kind of fractured narrative in a way from comic books. That was something that I was reminded of while I was reading it, that this would make such a great comic book.
The Chattertooth 11 was published in 1922, just 4 years after the establishment of Czechoslovakia, and it seems to embody the very democratic spirit of the newly established state.
This idea of Father Klopzubar, Father Chattertooth, trying to decide what he's going to do with his family and how he's going to present them to the world, to me it seemed like a very clear parallel with this kind of fresh, successful new country trying to figure out how it will present itself. The reason that the team is so successful is simply just because they respect each other, they like each other, and they spend all of their time working. They are also shown repeatedly not to be morally superior, which I think is interesting. So I think that really embodies the democratic spirit. The creativity that seems to take Czechs farther than it takes a lot of other people seems to be an idea there that's shown. And I like this idea that, yeah, that when they find out that the Barcelona team plays dirty, they have a creative way of dealing with this that also foils the Spanish team. On the other hand, they don't resort to any dirty tactics themselves. But yeah, there seems to be a celebration of creativity and ingenuity that I think is very Czech.
The most recent English edition of the Chattertooth 11 was released in 2008 by Carolinum Press and uses the original 1943 translation by Ruby Hobling, distinctive for its creative and playful approach to Buss's language while staying faithful to the original style and the time of the story's conception.
There's a feeling with translation that the original work is static and you can't change that, but that translations are kind of almost more of a living organism because they need to be updated very often. And what seems appropriate in a translation in the 40s might seem so archaic and old-fashioned right now that we would need a new translation. But Ruby Hubling's translation, it's beautiful. It reads perfectly, and it reads very much like an English novel from the 20s. So that any archaisms that are there, I think, really work in its favor. I was blown away by the translation. It reads beautifully.
Instead of updating the translation, the new English edition of the Chattertooth 11 is accompanied by new illustrations by Jiří Grus, which are no less charming than the original ones, done by Josef Čapek, and which have given the 1922 book a more contemporary style. And why should readers pick it up today?
The first reason is it's just fun. It's a fun book with these kind of inventive, creative solutions to typical sports problems. So I like that aspect of it. I think the other reason is that it is really written in an interesting way, that it's not just a straight narrative. So there's these very stylistic elements of the narrative that I just found fascinating and quite frankly, beautiful at times. So I think that is really the reason to read it, because it seems like a very straightforward story, but the style is quite experimental. So I like that something that looks like a children's book is also fascinating for adults that love literature and can compare this to other works and see how he approaches this material in such a strange way.
The Chattertooth 11 ends with the team's cunning escape from a cannibal island in the midst of the Pacific Ocean, the only time they ever break from their tradition to maintain fair play.
And I say, Sparsit, that they are seals. I assure you, Carlson, that they are porpoises. Want to bet on it? Good. £2, Sparsit. £2, Carlson. Mr. Sparsit and Mr. Carlson shook hands on it and then once more turned their glasses on those perplexing spots on the horizon. The rest of the passengers of the Yellico joined them, and the dispute soon spread. From 5 o'clock onward, everybody on board was seized with a wild excitement, for the glasses had revealed that the 12 black points were 12 inordinately fat people. What tragedy had happened here, and by what miracle had they been able to keep afloat? And what grim jest of fate had collected this apostolic number of fat men at this point? Nobody could answer, and the imaginations of the passengers were as much under way as was the Yellico itself. Shortly after 6 o'clock in the evening, the lifeboats were lowered. In one of them sat Mr. Sparsit, in another Mr. Carlson. Neither won his bet, but they wanted, nevertheless, to be the first to solve the riddle which they had been the first to discover. The solution caused great astonishment, for as the boats came nearer, they found, there in the midst of the Pacific Ocean, the world-famous Chattertooth 11, and in order not to get out of practice, they were playing water polo with their father. And this brings to an end the history of the Chattertooth 11.